Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp Inc. Tuesday, May 7th. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, with you back with us as well on the eve of a trip back to Chicago for the rest of the week. Ready to break down this Tuesday slate, BetCast Tuesday, BetCast Game Day for the first time in the second round, and we are very much looking forward to it tonight. And the best news is, for those of you cheapskates out there, I'm kidding, of course. I'm never, ever going to be begrudging anybody that is not a Patreon member and not signed up. But for those of you that are not Patreon members, the Ice Guys Stanley Cup Playoff Live BetCast, our first of the second round tonight, is free for all. It's open to everybody. So make sure you join us tonight, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, and we are definitely looking forward to this BetCast tonight. Game 2, Carolina-New York Rangers. Game 1, Colorado-Dallas. It's a great pair of games tonight. We're very much looking forward to it. Again, our first BetCast of the second round, 7 p.m. Eastern tonight, free for all. Again, if you want to join us on the stream during the BetCast tonight, DM or email me or Alex for a spot on the BetCast, and we'll make sure we get the link sent to you before the BetCast begins. So looking forward to it tonight. Should be a great BetCast and two fun games to watch and bet while they are taking place, and should be a great Tuesday night ahead. Before we get to Tuesday night, and before we even get to the recap of the Bruins-Panthers game one last night, there are a couple of NHL notes to mention. The main one being, we talked about Rick Bonus yesterday. It was a great, great goodbye press conference for him, too. Yeah. He got a little emotional, got a little choked up, saying, I just want people to remember that I love the game. And that actually hit me right there. So
yeah,
that was a beautiful thing. Well said. I understand the decision. I know, Alex, you weren't on, so you didn't get a chance to talk about Rick Bonus's retirement, but he went through a lot this year with his wife, Judy.
Yeah.
You know, she was very, very close at one point maybe to, losing her life. That's how close it was with her at one point, but she pulled through. You know, Rick had to undergo emergency surgery later in the year. So, you know, there's health situations he needs to be careful with moving forward. And I think you factor all that in. Just 27 years, you've been at it for 30 years. He felt the time was right. He knew it right away when that Colorado-Winnipeg series ended that this is probably going to be it. It's time. It's the right time for me. It's the right time for my family. But yeah, bon voyage to Rick Bonus. And I thought the words that he spoke about just how much he loved the game, that hits home for anyone that's a diehard hockey fan.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and obviously, you know, we're really critical of some of the moves he's made the last couple of postseasons and different things. But at the end of the day, this is, like I said, a guy who's, you know, devoted the majority of his life to this game. And for the better part, done a wonderful job at it. So, you know, bon voyage to him, best wishes to him, best wishes to his wife and his family as well. You know, he enjoys to, you know, live out his, you know, later years in peace. And I applaud him for, like I said, it was just a great speech overall, and the way that it was handled was just in, you know, just absolute class by him. So, yeah, just best of wishes to him for sure.
Yeah, no question. And look, obviously elusive Stanley Cup, did not get the Holy Grail, if you will, but he went to the Stanley Cup final three different times. Let's not forget that, twice as an assistant. And then, of course, and it was in the bubble. It was in that weird year, 2020, when COVID was prevalent. But they did get to the Stanley Cup final there against Tampa Bay when he was a head coach of the Dallas Stars. So, you know, close. Rick Bowness, and still a heck of a career for him, no question about that. The other big news the last 24 hours is that Travis Green has been hired as the head coach of the Ottawa Senators. It definitely, you could tell right away that when the Devils season ended, he probably wasn't going to be retained. The Devils were going to go outside and look for their new head coach, and that made Travis Green available. And Steve Staios, Michael Andlauer, and company did not wait long to pounce on Travis Green, making him the new head coach. There is that question of how much NHL success has Green had. He had one really good year in Vancouver where they got to the second round, and it was a very impressive run. Outside of that, a lot of things didn't go well, you know, in Vancouver for Travis Green there. We saw when he took over for Lindy Ruff, you know, he's an assistant with the Devils under Lindy. Lindy gets canned. He takes over the interim head coach the rest of the season. The Devils really didn't push, you know, the way, you know, they didn't get that bump that a lot of teams did. Was that Travis Green's fault? I'm not so sure about that. But, you know, it's not like the team's play improved leaps and bounds when Travis Green got that opportunity as head coach after Lindy Ruff got fired. So there are question marks. Like, this is a hire that, you know, Travis Green is not the second coming as of right now of Paul Maurice or, you know, Joel Quenneville or Scotty Bowman. Not even close as far as great NHL head coaches are concerned. So there is that risk. But here's the positive to this, Alex, to me the positive. A defensive detailed head coach. That's what Travis Green is. That's what he aspires to be. And if there's ever a team, Alex, that needs some defensive fucking detail in their game moving forward, you know, it's the Ottawa Senators, which that has always been their issue. So I think from a coaching style and a coaching, you know, philosophy standpoint, it's actually not a bad fit. He actually goes, he brings in the kind of principles that Ottawa desperately needs in this hockey team, some defensive improvement and significant defensive improvement. But again, you're bringing in, and you do have a guy with NHL head coaching experience, but it's about the level of success. We haven't seen it really from Travis Green outside of 1 year in Vancouver where they got that second round run. And you could argue they only got that far because Demko was just incredible. You know, in net, it's not like the team did anything spectacular. It's just they rode a red hot goalie that couldn't be denied, you know, getting that far as they did when Green was with the Canucks. So I give it a mixed review. You know, I don't hate the hire. I don't love the hire. I think from a coaching style, it kind of fits what Ottawa's trying to improve it in. But when you see established head coaches that are out there, Alex, that have had a ton of more success than Travis Green has had, you know, Dre Woodcroft and freaking Berube and Quenneville, yeah, maybe, I think, scouring a job somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many guys that have accomplished more as NHL head coaches than Travis Green. And that's why that's the negative part for me with this hire. But how do you see that when Travis Green in Ottawa?
Yeah, if we were talking about another guy being brought in as the head coach and Travis Green was added as an assistant, I would think that would be an A-plus move because, like you said, he's defensive-oriented. I think he would be the perfect guy to run your defensive units, run a penalty kill, you know, in with a coach that's more offensive-minded. So that being said, unless he's planning to bring in some guys who can really kind of tailor things offensively as well, who he builds around is what's going to be important here, right? Like, he has experience. He's going to be the lead guy. But I think he's going to need a whole group around him that really carries and changes the momentum of Ottawa. Because Ottawa can't be a team that plays hockey like the 1999 and just shut everybody down and win 3-2 hockey. Like, they're going to have to get some offensive momentum as well. And Green kind of scares me as possibly being one of these coaches who they focus so much on defense, teams lose sight of what they're doing offensively. So that's the thing I want to look at moving forward with Ottawa. It's a neutral hire as far as I'm concerned right now. How he fills out the rest of that staff is what's going to be the big picture of what we take away from that moving forward, of whether Ottawa goes up or down moving next season.
Yeah, Definitely. It's definitely a wait and see a hire for me, see how it goes with the Ottawa Senators. I'm certainly not rushing to give it a thumbs up right now. Speaking of news, I just thought I'd mention this because I just saw it now. And Alex, of course, big Blackhawks fan, big night for the Blackhawks and all those teams that are right in the hunt for the number one overall pick. The NHL draft lottery takes place at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, half an hour before game two with the Hurricanes and Rangers. So we'll be starting the BetCast right after that draft lottery, and we might even come on the start the BetCast maybe 5 minutes before 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, just so we can talk about the results of that draft lottery for a few minutes before game two in New York begins. But Lucas Reichel has extended for the Chicago Blackhawks, 2-year contract extension. It's a guy that the Chicago Blackhawks still expect quite a bit from. It's been very underwhelming returns. So far from him, I guess, in his NHL career. What do you see from Lucas Reichel? There's talent there. There's a ceiling there. But at some point, yeah, you got to jump up and hit that ceiling. And this guy hasn't yet.
Yeah, I'm not really crazy about the move. Now, I just said it was a $1.2 million cap hit. Is that per year?
Yeah, $1.2 million salary cap hit. Looks like each year, yes.
Each year. Okay. So that's not, I mean, you know, we have money to spend. That's not that the big of an issue. I just think for one, you shouldn't be signing anybody today because you don't know what's going to happen tonight. We could be talking about a completely different look depending on whether we win that number one spot in the draft lottery tonight. And I think that's where you kind of wait to move the needle. A guy like Reichel may not even be necessary in your lineup if we end up getting the number one pick and drafting Macklin Celebrini. Now, to say that, I don't think he's going to pan out and be a top six kind of guy, at least not with the Hawks. If it happens, it's going to be somewhere else. He'll need a change of scenery, in my opinion. But I think he's kind of that second, third level. He's more of a third, fourth line kind of guy who can give you some offensive punch at that position. He makes your team more expansive in that bottom six role. But I think when he's up there in the top pressure, you know, cooker kind of situation, I don't know if he quite has enough to what it takes at this level at this time. So a 2-year deal, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. You sign him for 1 year, and then you can flip him at the deadline moving forward. That I would have liked a little bit more. But like I said, I know they're just trying to give him a little bit more room and space. But I could see him, as far as long term, he's probably going to be involved in a big trade that helps the Hawks progress within this rebuild.
All right, good stuff with that. So again, draft lottery tonight. Looking forward to that. All right, Bruins Panthers last night. Boston, wow, 5-1 over the Florida Panthers. What a statement made by the Bruins, and what a job by the team coming off game seven. Although, you know, something I glossed over was the success of these game seven overtime winners in the first game of the next series, and really the next series overall. How much they've won game one and how much they've, you know, won those series the next time after a game seven overtime win. And of course, Bruins had one Saturday night against Toronto. There was no letdown, no sign of fatigue. Although I will say this, Florida in the first few minutes were all over Boston. And once again, Jeremy Swayman was just spectacular in the very early going of that game. And it set the tone. It let the Bruins get their feet under them. And then from that point on, I thought Boston played a pretty good first period. I thought after the first 5 or 6 minutes, you could even argue they outplayed Florida in that first period. And then they got stronger as the game went in Florida. The more chances they had to beat Swayman and the more he was shutting things down, albeit other than, of course, the goal that Matthew Tkachuk scored. But the fact Boston answered right away was huge to tie it at 1-1 with Morgan Geekie, who, of course, the bargain bin special for me at plus 500. So that was a great call last night. Great to hit that. And then Boston adds to the lead, 2-1. They get the second goal as well. Mason Lowry, outstanding game for him. And, of course, the new father. And I didn't even know he was going to play. Or if I knew way ahead of time he was going to play, I would have sprinkled a couple bucks on Brandon Carlo to score, because it's just so crazy and uncanny how that works. Becomes a new father. It's like a bump. And it creates in your performance in the very first game. And we saw it. He finds a point shot, beats Bobrovsky, 3-1 scores. And I think he was upwards of plus 16 or 1700, Brandon Carlo, to score a goal last night for the Bruins. So great moment for him. What a whirlwind 48 hours. Did a great interview with Scott Van Pelt on ESPN SportsCenter after the game as well. Brandon Carlo talking about beating the Leafs in game seven. you know, becoming a dad, seeing your son born, and then having to come back and play Florida and score a goal in the game as well, helping your team to victory. So just incredible stuff right there. And Boston, look, the difference in the game was Boston was opportunistic, capitalized on their chances. Florida didn't. And really, it was a better goaltending performance last night from Jeremy Swayman, who outplayed Sergei Bobrovsky. Sergei Bobrovsky wasn't terrible, but that was not A-plus Sergei Bobrovsky last night. And the Bruins end up winning 5-1. Thank you to Paul Maurice for pulling the goalie, because that empty net goal allowed me to hit over 5.5. So I very much appreciate that as the best bet on the show yesterday. So a 5-1 Bruins win. And here's where I'm at with the series right now. Let's not count Florida out, okay, because you know they're a great team, and you know that was a team that had not played in almost a week. They were a little flat, a little rusty, off their game, out of sync. Panthers will be a better and probably a lot better in game two. But my overall thoughts on this series after last night is I am more worried about the opponents for the Boston Bruins much more now after last night than I was going into game one. And here is why. I am starting to see some very vivid and very real similarities with the Boston Bruins right now to that 2011 Stanley Cup winning Boston Bruins team. Think about that team for a moment. Montreal in the first round. Game seven, it goes to overtime on home ice. Nathan Horton scores the overtime series winning goal in game seven. That close was the Bruins that year in 2011 to being finished, out. Not even sniffing a Stanley Cup that year if Montreal bounces them in the first round in Game 7 at TD Garden. And Nathan Horton scores that goal in Game 7, and it's like it just opened things up for Boston from that point on. The rest of the playoffs, they started to march on, and guess who was the backbone of that Stanley Cup championship run through that playoff run? Tampa in the Eastern Final. Vancouver, obviously, in the Stanley Cup final. Guess who is the backbone playing at a nearly unconscious level in between the pipes for Boston that year? Tim Thomas. Tim the Tool Man Thomas. He was absolutely, you could put, you were not beating him with a fucking beach ball that year. You were not going to beat him that year in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He was that good. He was seeing everything. He was on top of everything. It felt like he knew where the shot was going to be coming from before the opposing player took that shot. And guess who is, to me right now, based on the seven games against Toronto and last night, what, 39 saves on 40 shots against Florida. Guess who is reminding me of the level of play that Tim Thomas played at that year, leading the Bruins to the Stanley Cup? Jeremy Swayman. That's the level he's starting to play at right now. That's the level he's at right now. That's scary ass shit. And it better be scary shit for Florida right now, thinking about it. Because we saw Tim Thomas go absolutely nuts with just incredible play in net in 2011. And he was obviously the biggest reason why they won that Stanley Cup that year. There'd be games the Bruins got outplayed, got outshot, kind of hanging on in multiple games. And yet Tim Thomas made every timely critical save that he needed to make. Guess who's made every timely critical save that he's needed to make in six or eight playoff games, I should say, for Boston so far? Jeremy Swayman. He is at that level right now. He's unconscious. He's unbelievable. He's got some of the best stats through eight playoff games in NHL history. Okay? NHL playoff history right now. So, yeah, Florida's going to be throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at Jeremy Swayman in game two and beyond in this series. And they will be a lot better. They will be a lot sharper after that, you know, game one where things were out of sync last night. But Jeremy Swayman's playing at a level where he could steal a game, another game two. He could steal games in this series, and Boston will have a great chance to knock out Florida if this level of goaltending continues from Jeremy Swayman. It's that simple. Goalies, this white hot right now, can do this shit at this time of year. Steal games, just carry teams on their backs to victories and series wins. And I'm starting to see that out of Jeremy Swayman after last night. So this is now a series where Florida is going to have to really make a conscious, concerted effort. And it's got to start, Alex, with game two. You got to have Tkachuk bumping this fucking guy. You've got to have him, you know, right in his grill with that mouthpiece flapping in the wings, flapping in the air, as it always is with Tkachuk. You got to bump him. You got to maybe whack him a few times with your – you got to do something. You have to do something to shake this guy out of this incredible zone that he is in, that he's been in these entire playoffs. And that's the thing that disappointed me a bit about Florida last night. They didn't do enough of that. I don't think for a team that's usually rattles the opposing netminder's cage, I don't think they did enough of it last night in game one. So that's the mandate that I set to the Florida Panthers going into game two. You've got to get bodies there. You've got to maybe even start getting, like I said, not a little vicious. Now, obviously, you're not going to try to hurt the guy, but you've got to try to bump him a bit. Maybe an extra little bump. Maybe an extra little, just a, you know, little tap of the goalie pads with a stick, you know, after the whistle. You've got to do something to really start to influence this guy, because he looks as calm as can be. He's smiling after a big save last night. We all saw that little sheepish grin to Trent Frederick when he was sprawled out there making a tremendous stop. You got to do something to get him off his game, because he's scary. And Tim Thomas played like this in 2011. Bruins won a cup. I'm not going there yet, obviously. Bruins winning a cup. But my goodness, this guy's playing at a level where he could damn well carry Boston a long way in these playoffs, and certainly maybe past Florida, unless they change up that approach and get even a greasier in front of that Bruins net. So that's my biggest thoughts and takeaways from game one. Alex, what did you think last night, Bruins taking game one?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a big win. And like you said, you know, sometimes we talk about the momentum or sometimes want to question the momentum of a team coming off of a game seven with such a quick turnaround, especially then when you mentioned overtime as well in that said game seven. Oftentimes that momentum rolls positively in that favor. And in saying that, I think we're starting to see, even when you look back at Carolina and the Rangers game one, both those teams having time off. What did we see? We saw offense early and often. We saw, you know, Bobrovsky kind of weather the storm and then kind of give up some goals in the second period. Maybe the fatigue sets in more with the goaltending than, say, the overall defense within that long gap off. And that's based off of just the three instances we have over the last couple of days. So it's something to keep in mind as we talk about Colorado and Dallas, of course, where Dallas, quick turnaround, Colorado having some time. But in saying that, yes, Jeremy Swayman's playing his ass off right now. He's playing the best hockey of his career. Probably now is the time to grab Conn Smythe's futures for him, because those numbers will start to evaporate and get smaller and smaller as he continues to play well and if Boston continues to win games with him playing well. So that's probably the way to approach and look at him right now. But Florida, like I said, they just have to get back to playing their style, being a bit more physical, but staying disciplined. Within that, you can't go overboard, like you said, you know, but get bodies in front of Swayman, bump him and rattle him a little bit, get in his, you know, try to get in his head, you know, and they have the guys that can do it. They have the agitators, they have the Tkachuks and the Nick Cousins in the chat saying Kyle Okposo. You have those guys that get under people's skin. You have them there for a reason. Use them. So I think they will do that. I think we will see more of a grittier game, an edgier game from Florida heading in the game too.
How about the fact of all the, how about listing all the Bruins that scored goals last night? I mean, that's the hilarious part about that win. I guess it's kind of maybe a little worrisome for Florida, and certainly something you love if you're the Bruins. It was none of the big guns, you know, Geeky, Lowry, Carlo, you know, two defensemen scoring, Justin Brazeau. And of course it was Jake DeBrusk into the empty net, you know, and so you got everyone stepping up. You suddenly got the depth scoring that sometimes the Bruins don't have and don't get. Yeah. And that's definitely something that, you know, going to have to pay attention to if you're Florida moving forward in the adjustments that you're going to make going into a game two. But again, it is just one game. This is still a hell of a Florida Panthers team. And to be honest, this was Florida coming off a pretty lengthy time away since ending that series against Tampa Bay. So like I said, it's going to be interesting to see game two tomorrow night. And can the Bruins continue this magic ride? Can Jeremy Swayman continue this? Grant Fuhr, Marty Brodeur, Bernie Perrant, Ken Dryden type of run in between the pipes. Tim Thomas, circa 2011, or can the Panthers get back to Panthers hockey? Greasy goals, muck it up in front of the net, take the goalie's eyes away, make life miserable for Jeremy Swayman. That's been Florida's MO these last 2 years. Make life miserable for the opposing goaltender. The goalie was not miserable last night. He's smiling away, stopping everything thrown at him en route to victory. That's going to have to change for Florida in game two. All right, let's get to tonight. We've got two games tonight in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Our BetCast tonight, looking forward to that, will begin at Madison Square Garden, game two. Carolina Hurricanes, New York Rangers, Carolina minus 125 road favorites here in game two tonight. Total 5.5 shaded to the under. Rangers, of course, leading the series 1-0, but that was not an easy path to victory for the Rangers on Sunday afternoon. The first thing that stands out about game one was the special teams dominance for the New York Rangers in a series where it looked like the special teams was very close on paper. Rangers power play excellent. So was the Carolina penalty kill going into game one, but the Rangers just had the much better of it. They were awesome. They ended up doing a tremendous job with the man advantage. We'll see if that continues here tonight against this Carolina Hurricanes team. One thing about Carolina, you've got Rod Brind'Amour, who is very, very good at game-to-game adjustments. It's been that way in the past for the Hurricanes. We'll see if the Carolina penalty kill shores things up. They have to. You either have to stop taking that many penalties, and it was a terrible lack of discipline from Carolina in game one. Not at all like what we have seen here from Carolina in the past. So we'll see if they can rein in the discipline, stop taking those penalties. Your options are either you stop taking the penalties and giving the Rangers the power play, or your penalty kill has got to be a whole lot better. You know, it's got to be one of the two here tonight. Going into this matchup. As far as Carolina goes, I am worried about the goaltending edge that clearly the Rangers have. Shesterkin was very good again in game one. I don't think he could have done much about any of the goals that went in. One was a deflection or a seeing eye shot from the point that hit something. The second goal was a nice goal, great play, not much he can do. The third goal was a scramble. Nobody helped him out with the extra attacker. You can't blame Shesterkin for that. He was very good other than that. And there was Freddie Anderson giving up the, you know, the Freddie Softy was an issue in Toronto when he was there. It's been an issue at times in the past, and he's been very good in these playoffs, but that was a goal, that backbreaker goal by Panarin. He's got to have that. And so there's no doubt Rangers have this the better goaltender in this series. So I think this is a good Carolina bounce back situation, but there's no way I'm putting all the eggs in the basket of Carolina minus 125. I do have a little piece of the money line, but we're going about it in different ways. I like the full game team total for Carolina, over 2.5 minus 135 in this game. We'll go back to the well with that. Keep in mind that Carolina team total cashed in game one, even though they lost the game. So no way do I want just Carolina money line here, because I'm worried about Freddie Anderson versus Shesterkin. I am very, very concerned, especially after that soft goal that he gave up in game one. You know, and sometimes we've seen this in two as well with Anderson. He gets, you know, a little bit worse in the as the playoffs go on. Not saying he can't bounce back. He's capable because he had a lot of really good games down the stretch of the regular season and several pretty solid efforts with the Islander series as well. But like I said, I think he's got to play better. I like the Hurricanes split with the team total. And I like Carolina to score in the first period tonight, minus 140. This has been a good angle. Team off a loss, especially quality team off a loss, scoring in the opening 20 minutes of play, minus 140 at BetMGM for Carolina to get on the board in the first period. And the great thing about that is I've stopped doing the puck lines in spots like this because I don't always trust the team, you know, to keep a clean sheet, if you will, in that opening period. Just trust them to score. And I think you'll see that from Carolina tonight. So three Hurricane bets, Carolina money line is probably the smallest of the three, quite honestly. I like the team totals more. Full game over 2.5, minus 140, Carolina to score in the first period. And I like the over bifecta again, but I'm slanting more of it to the first period over. I mean, for me, it's hard to pass up, Alex, the first period overs. Carolina, all but one game for them in the Stanley Cup playoffs, has gone over in the first period. The Rangers have a pretty strong first period over mark so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. In fact, you look at Chris Otto's charts, these are two of the stronger first period over teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, like I said, I'm on the over bifecta, but I definitely like the first period part of that more than the full game. Alex, game two, great matchup. Very interesting to see how Carolina responds, Hurricanes, Rangers.
Yeah, we know. I talked about it. I said this has a zigzag kind of feel to the series. You know, that's why I bet the six-game, seven-game stack in this. So I like Carolina. I grabbed minus $1.16 this morning. And then when I was on the shows, it was moving $1.20, and now I'm seeing these $1.25s. That's a little too steep at that point. I think $1.20 was the cutoff for me. So now we're getting to the 25, 30-cent range. The only thing I would be looking at there would be laying the team total. So I will be on that team total over 2.5 minus 135. For 10 cent more, I don't have to worry about the winner. All I need is three Carolina goals, which if they win the game, it's a high chance they win scoring three goals. So at this point, this is best to shift whatever money you were going to put on Carolina on money line at this price and just put it toward the team total. We will be on the live betcast, so I will have a small piece of first period over now, but I'll look to add on more the first couple of minutes in, try and just add a little bit more to that price. I'm staying off of the full game 5.5. I think because we see Carolina control pace a little bit more, we'll definitely see them slow things down, I think, in the second and third periods. Yeah. They'll make those adjustments. And the fact that if they can play a more disciplined game, I think that takes some chances away from the Rangers. I think that's going to be the key to Carolina getting the victory here. So I do like Carolina to win, but at this point, you might as well just shift everything to team total over since we're already laying that kind of a price. And then a little bit of first period over now, add a little bit more on in game.
All right, there we go. Good stuff. And I agree with most of that because I'm on team totals more than the money line, over 2.5 for the game. Carolina to score in the first period as well, minus 140. And like I said, just like with the over bifecta, definitely more on the first period over than the full game, because if Carolina has that strong start, which I think they've got the potential to tonight, we could end up seeing Carolina do the old park the bus. They do this a lot, you know, with the lead, and we could see that again, you know, and try to slow this thing down if they get the lead after the first 20 minutes. I agree with our Ranger fan. Good friend of the show, John Massey, with the Shesterkin saves prop. I think there's definitely going to be way more shot volume tonight from the Carolina Hurricanes. They just passed up way too many opportunities to shoot the frickin' puck in game one. And I don't think that with the shots they did get were enough high quality in game one. I think that's going to change. And this is a team that usually, when they're off a loss, you do see this team. And Rod Brind'Amour, long time that he's been the head coach now here, they've been a high shot volume team. We didn't really see that much in game one. So I do like the Shesterkin saves prop. Definitely with the way the game flow, I think, is going to unfold tonight. To me, it makes a lot of sense to look at Shesterkin over saves to be a very busy goaltender here tonight. I like Vinny Trocheck again. How do you not stay away from them? Even though I like Carolina to have a much better game too, how can you pass up Vincent Trocheck right now, what he's doing? 2-point game again in game one. He was a huge producer offensively in the Washington series as well. I think he always wants to do well against his old team. So I definitely like his props tonight in this one. And I think for Carolina, you know, this is where Aho, this is where Gensel, this is Svechnikov. I'm still going to come back to the go back to the well with him as long as he's still on the top line, because you're still getting that great price north of plus 300 for him to score a goal. Martinuk, Drury, and Natchez. Actually, there looks like some lineup shifting here for Brind'Amour. The second line, Teravainen and Stahl and Jarvis. Now looks like it's going to be maybe the third line for them. Kotkaniemi's down on the fourth line is where he should be. I think he's had a disappointing playoffs for Carolina so far with Kuznetsov and with Nason. And, of course, Brett Pesce still out for the Carolina Hurricanes. And as we said after game one, they're not as good on the back end defensively without Brett Pesce and with Tony DeAngelo instead. So keep that in mind. So and for the Rangers, you know, you usually don't see coaches shake up or winning lineup. And it looks like it's pretty status quo for Peter Laviolette, very much running back the same lineup that got the job done for the Rangers in game one. But as John Massey was bemoaning in our chat the other day on Sunday, not without some stress and not without a heart attack at the end. And it wouldn't be the Rangers without that, as it did get a little hairy once it got to 4-3. But that bad penalty by Carolina, and it was a bad penalty by the aforementioned Svechnikov, basically took away any opportunity then for the Hurricanes to tie that game. All right, next up, we've got Western Conference semifinal, game one, Colorado Avalanche, Dallas Stars. We've got Dallas minus 125, home favorites, 6.5 being the total here. And of course, this total actually opened 6, but has been moved up to 6.5. And you can understand why that is. Game ones, we've seen it now. Carolina, New York Rangers over the total. A bit fortuitous, but still. Boston, Florida last night over the total in game one as well. And just way more sloppy play, more defensive breakdowns. I don't think anyone's locked in and geared into blocking shots and making life easier on their goaltenders this early in the series. I mean, that is what we are seeing with these early game ones. And I said that on the show yesterday, overs early in the series, unders later in the series. That's what we're starting to see. And we certainly saw that in the first round. How many overs did we have early in the first round? We had a bunch of them. And then once we got to game five, and especially game six and in game seven, you know, of the series that went the distance or close to it, Vegas, Dallas, Toronto, Boston, a series that went deep into the first round, you really saw the goal scoring evaporate in the final few games of those series. So that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing goals early in the series, and then things tighten up when the games become more important, more critical. And the series are on the line. So, and when you look at Colorado-Dallas, as far as go back and look at series history with these two teams recently, it's been overs aplenty between these two teams. Go back to November, 4 regular season meetings, 6-3, 5-4, 5-1, 7-4, of course. We remember that late regular season meeting in Colorado where Dallas just took Colorado apart in that game. It was probably one of the most impressive wins all season from the Dallas Stars. And they were staring at 0-4 against Colorado in the regular season, you know, before finally beating them in that final regular season meeting. Winnipeg losing to Colorado, and credit to Colorado to some degree, and I say some degree, they got their defensive game in order. And Alexander Georgiev, after a brutal second half of the regular season, a terrible game one, especially against Winnipeg, he did play better. You know, he found some confidence. He got a good chunk of his game back. But at the same point in time, Winnipeg it did everything they could to help him out, help him get his game back. Too much time in the penalty box. Not enough five-on-five even strength play from the Winnipeg Jets. Not enough traffic in front of the net. Not enough shots directed at Alexander Georgiev in that series. The problem I have with trusting Colorado in this series is I don't know how fucking good their D is right now as far as defensively. I don't. It was good 2 years ago to win a Stanley Cup, but I don't know. I'm seeing holes. I'm still seeing them make mistakes with the puck, have breakdowns, have definite issues at times defending in their own end. To me, if they're going to have those issues and if Alexander Georgiev's going to have more hiccups, this is a team that's going to have a much better chance of making you pay for it, because Dallas now has four lines that can get it done and can get you offensively, whether that's Robertson, Hintz, and now the newly elevated Logan Stankoven, the Stank Man, as I like to call him. He's now up on the top line with Hintz and Robertson. If they don't beat you, Dodonov with Duchesne and Seguin can chip in. Ben Johnston and Pavelski, it goes without saying, especially Wyatt Johnston. They can beat your ass, you know, if you're going to have issues defensively and with your goaltender. Foxa, the series winner against Vegas in game seven. And he's playing on the fourth line with Sammy Steele, who's been an energy spark plug this whole playoff. And Craig Smith, who hasn't done anything offensively, but man, he's had a million chances. And you got to think something's going to go in eventually for that guy. That's your fourth line for the Dallas Stars. I mean, they've just got much more potency to make a suspect outfit defensively pay for it. The scary part for Colorado in a positive is this offense, man. They're just lethal. They're lethal at 5-on-5. They're absolutely lethal on the power play. And that's essentially what really got it done for them against Winnipeg. Winnipeg couldn't stay out of the box. The power play was just amazing. The level of execution, the level of precision, it was just something to behold, just binging that puck around the offensive zone. You know, McKinnon, Rantanen, Obviously, they were on Makar on the back end. I mean, just the way they executed and performed with the power play in that Winnipeg series was something else. There's no question. So that's going to be the scary part to deal with for Dallas. You know, stay out of the box, and if you're going to take a penalty, you know, be careful. This Colorado power play is that good, and it's going to be an interesting battle. I do want to point out, too, another thing I wanted to mention here is that the Avalanche, in every regular season game against Dallas, they scored a power play goal. But that being said, Dallas scored 5 power play goals in the head-to-head matchups. But you look at it, definitely that would be something you want to factor in. And of course, Dallas went 3-for-3 on the power play in the win at Colorado in April. So these are two very good power plays. So you've got two pretty good power plays. Like I said, I think the thing that you're going to notice for Dallas defensively and for Ottinger tonight is Vegas doesn't have that game-breaking offense, I think, this year compared to last year, and certainly compared to what I think Colorado can provide. So I think this is a great game one. This should be entertaining. This should be exciting. We see some goals. I am not moving on anything in the series as of right now. No series bet. No series bet for me at the current price. Why would I? I've got Dallas to win the West, Dallas to win the Stanley Cup. I only added on Dallas quite a bit against Vegas because I felt great about that opponent, beating that opponent, and the whole revenge factor, and that Dallas was going to find a way to get past that Vegas team. This is going to be a totally different style and different type of opponent compared to the Vegas Golden Knights for the Dallas Stars here. And I'm just content, at least certainly now, with the opening series price being -120, to just sit back and just not have a series bet before game one tonight. What I do like here in game one is we saw the team that won game 7, Boston, come out in game one against Florida last night and not show any sign of, well, we're tired, we had to come back 48 hours later and play again. No, they got the job done. And I think Dallas gets the job done at least offensively tonight in this game. So I'm on Dallas team total here tonight. In this game, you can get a pretty decent price on that. Dallas, a team total over 3.5. You get a really good price on over 3.5, upwards of +120. I do think they can get 4 goals tonight against this Avs team. Remember, Avs have been off a while, little shaky, little rusty, little out of sync. And look at Florida last night. They'd been off for a while. They gave up 5 goals. I know one of them was an empty netter, but they gave up 5 goals in that game. So Dallas team total, I like. And I'm going to go one step further. You know, I was going to get to this eventually. You had to know I'm going to be on this. Over trifecta tonight with the Avs and the Stars. Over 1.5 first period. Both teams to score first period. And over. I got over 6 -125. I don't know if there's still many sixes left. Shop around. But I did get a 6. 6.5 I still endorse. I think we're getting at least 7 tonight between these two teams. It'll tighten up eventually at points in the series. There's no doubt. Just like, you know, Dallas-Vegas did, just like Colorado-Winnipeg. There were even a couple games there where the overs just weren't flying like they were early in the series. But definitely, like I said, I like over trifecta here. 1.5, both teams to score first period, and also over 6. And 6.5, I'm fine with it. I still like it quite a bit. And as well with the Dallas team total, like I said, over 3.5 tonight. Alex, game one, Colorado-Dallas.
Yeah, I'm right there with you as far as the series. I don't have anything yet because I am committed with Dallas as far as the West and the Cup. But I more than likely will be kind of looking at a bit of a zigzag theory pattern. And I was talking about it before we were on the air. And I haven't formally bet this yet, but I would possibly, if you think you're going to see a split here in Dallas between games 1 and 2, you could at least solidify yourself with plus money going into game 3 using the 2-1 correct score and betting both sides to be up 2-1 after game 3. You get +190 with Colorado, +145, +150 I saw with Dallas in that spot. And then you could kind of just use that winner to move on and bet things adjusted within the series. So that's a theory I'm kind of tossing around, but I haven't made that official. So I'll be kind of just, you know, keeping things moving as far as almost a live pattern as far as series plays goes with game 1 especially being that we're on the betcast. I like the full game and first period's over, but I'm not playing them right now at these prices. I'm not laying going 6.5 when I can more than likely wait and lay a 5.5. I don't think we're going to be in a rush to get goals here. I think we'll be able to get a little bit of an even cheaper price on 1.5 as well. So I'm targeting, you know, 3 to 4 minutes, kind of treating this like a regular season game. When we usually have these high numbers, we're waiting to at least get those prices down, even if we can't get the full adjustment to the numbers that we wish we like. So live look for the first period and the full game overs. Live look for the series as well. The biggest key will be, like you said, Georgiev was not tested a whole lot by Winnipeg late in that series. Once that offense kind of fizzled out and they just lost steam, he was able to relax. Yep. And now he's had some time to rest as well. The biggest thing to look for early in this is, will he be sharp and look like a fully rested goalie and be back to where we saw him competing at a high level earlier in this year? Or will there be some rust, as I mentioned, where we saw a little bit of rust with Sergei Bobrovsky having time off? We saw some rust in the goaltending with Anderson and even Shesterkin early in that game one with Rangers Kane. So that's been the trend. These teams that have the time off, there's been a little bit of rust. It's been mostly on the goaltender, not necessarily the entire cast. So that's the biggest thing I want to see. And, of course, even with Dallas, can they roll that Game 7 momentum into Game 1 and with being at home? So this is a great live betcast game, and that's just kind of the way that I'll be fortunate.
And I just rather much – and because if you had asked me the money line, I did consider Dallas in Game 1 minus 125, but no, I'd just rather have over 3.5 at a really nice plus number. Because to me, I don't know if they're going to totally shut down Colorado. I don't expect them to, because I like the over in this game, the first period over, full game over. And I think Dallas is probably going to need to score 4 goals if they're going to win the game. So that's why I just much prefer the over 3.5 here. As far as the team total, rather than Dallas money line, but what I like most of all is the over trifecta. And what I'm going to go one step further, because Nicholas Nevelainen's got me thinking alternative totals. I still remember, Alex, that son of a gun, our friend from Finland there, Toronto Tampa Bay down the stretch of the regular season. He made it over 7.5 as his best bet. He went alternative total for a better plus price with that game. And so he's got me thinking with these alternative totals. I'm going to sprinkle on them tonight. Like, I think this could get, I don't know if it's going to be 7-6 kind of nuts, like we saw with Colorado Winnipeg game one or four. But remember Vegas and Dallas game one, that was a wild first period in game one. And it did slow down after that. It ended 4-3 for Vegas, but I'm going to do alternative first period totals and alternative full game totals here tonight. I'm going to sprinkle on over 2.5 plus 220 in the first period tonight. Over 2.5. I'm going one step further. Not just the over trifecta, but give me the over 2.5 plus 220 in the first period. And then with that full game total, I'm going to dabble on over 7.5 plus 210. A little smaller, over 8.5 plus 330. I'm even going to go over 9.5 plus 650. That's how much I think this could end up being, that kind of a 6-4, 6-5 kind of game tonight. And look, I know we're talking about a great goalie in Jake Oettinger. And, well, Georgiev I don't trust, but he's capable of playing well any given night. But I just think in this particular spot, we could get an explosion tonight in game one. And again, we saw these two teams, think about just the third period alternative total over 2.5 by itself. It was 3-3 Avalanche Jets after the first period of game one. And it was 3-2 Vegas after the first period of game one against Dallas. So, like I said, we're going with these alternative totals tonight and sprinkling on them, because I think this is the spot to do it and the game to do it, that we could just see one of those, you know, 6-5, 5-4 pinball games tonight with the Avalanche and the Stars. So looking forward to seeing how this plays out, Alex, and looking to see if my little theory there comes to fruition.
Yeah, should be interesting.
All right, there we go. A shout out to everyone in the chat at the like button. Betcast tonight. Can't wait for it. Again, public free-for-all Betcast. So anyone can join us live tonight, Tuesday, May 7th, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Again, DM or email me or Alex for a spot on the Betcast, and we will send you the link for it as it gets underway. We're looking forward to it tonight big time. And a reminder, we've got, by the way, we'll put this up on the screen. There's the current Betcast schedule that we have for the second round tonight, which is free-for-all. We have two Patreon exclusive live betcasts next week, Tuesday, May 14th, Thursday, May 16th. Both of those Patreon exclusive, which means if you want to join us for those two betcasts next week, you must sign up $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. Again, you get access to our Patreon exclusive live betcasts for the rest of the playoffs, daily sides totals and player props posted on the page, bonus content, goalie charts, totals charts, and more. Again, sign up. And also make sure that if you sign up and you're going to think, you know, I haven't signed up yet, why bother? There's only a month left in the season, pretty much. We've got a bunch of off-season content coming to patreon.com/iceguys. We're going to have our Q&A video we're finally going to put up there. We're going to have a bunch of player suite interviews over the summer, like we had last year, that will be exclusive to Patreon members. So definitely, like I said, if you sign up now, don't think that, hey, I'm going to get everything I've paid for and then some in May and in June until the Stanley Cup final ends, and then it's going to be, we're going to ghost the page for the all summer. No, we're going to have tons of off-season content. So patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. Make sure you get on board. And last but not least, check out the Ice Guys store. Get your gear and your merch every day at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yeah, today is the final day for 20% off at the store. Go to iceguys.myspreadshop.com, click on the redeem button at the top of the page, and add everything in your cart and get that 20% checkout that lasts until midnight Eastern tonight. That's 20% off at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
All right, we've got best bets and bargain bin special of the night coming up right after we hear from our great sponsor. Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the site using the promo code ICEGUYS at BostonHempInc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. I got an encore to follow after Morgan Geeky comes through for us at plus 500 last night for the Boston Bruins. But Alex, we'll start with you. Where are you going for the bargain bin tonight?
Yeah, going that Colorado-Dallas game one. Like I said, I think it's going to be big for Dallas to try to keep that momentum rolling after the series win, having the home crowd to their advantage and getting on the board early. And I think the first goal of the game will come from, as you mentioned, Roope Hintz being on that top line. I think he'll be a solid guy to, you know, find his way and get one of those gritty goals. It won't be anything pretty, but that's what they need. They need something to rattle this Avalanche team, you know, redirect, get a bounce in front, and find one to get back in the back of the net. I think Roope Hintz can be the guy to do that. Plus 1,300 at FanDuel anytime goal scorer, or I'm sorry, for first goal scorer of the game. That'll be Roope Hintz of the Dallas Stars.
All right. Roope Hintz for the Dallas Stars. First goal of the game. And Alex has been damn good with these. Remember that. He's hit more than a few. Roope Hintz, first goal for the Dallas Stars for Alex with his bargain bin special of the night. My bargain bin special of the night is actually his line mate, promoted to the top line in game 7 against Vegas, Logan Stankoven. Now, I went back and forth because I really like over 1.5 points, which is like plus 550, plus 575. It's a great price, but I'm going to go with the goal prop. Now, he is equal playmaker as he is finisher. In fact, you could even argue he's even a greater playmaker than he is a finisher. So I almost made over 1.5 points for Logan Stankoven, my bargain bin, but I'm going to go with the goal prop. I'm going to trust that he can maybe find the back of the net because he has had some chances. And keep in mind, this will be his second game on the top line. It'll be his first game with a lot more room to maneuver. Because let's be real, Vegas's D, I think they're more of a shutdown D than Colorado. You know, you're going to have more time. You're going to have more space out there. playing this Avs blue line, which I still think has some question marks. They're amazing offensively, but I've got these question marks defensively about this Colorado blue line. And I think there's going to be more time, more space, more open ice, more opportunity for Logan Stankoven and really anybody on this Dallas team. So I think he's got a chance right away in game one tonight to find the back of the net. So Logan Stankoven for the Dallas Stars, plus 400 at BetMGM for my bargain bin special of the night for this Tuesday, NHL playoff slate. Best bets, Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Yeah, not really crazy about anything on the board tonight, but the one thing I like the most from what we talked about will be that Hurricanes team total over 2.5, minus 135. You're just laying 10 cents more than the money line there. And at Carolina, it's hard to fathom that they'd win the game 2-1 or 1-0 here. So I think there will be goals coming from the Canes side. They need to, like I said, take less penalties, be more disciplined, and work on more of their offensive approach, kind of play more toward the front end of the ice. So Carolina Hurricanes, team total over 2.5, minus 135 is my best bet.
All right, there we go. Carolina Hurricanes, team total over 2.5, minus 135, best bet for Alex B. Smith. My best bet, it's going to be one-third, if you will, of the over trifecta in Dallas tonight. We're going to go with the full game. Over 6.5, plus 100, bet 99. I think we see at least 7 goals. Both of these teams flew over their total in game one of their series, Colorado versus Winnipeg, Vegas versus Dallas. I think we see more of the same tonight. So Avs, Stars, over 6.5 for my best bet here for this Tuesday. All right, that'll wrap up this edition of the Ice Guys. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Hit the like button on the way out. We appreciate it very much. And a reminder, the BetCast tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern. We're actually going to try to get on the BetCast tonight 5 minutes or so before 7 p.m. Eastern, because we're going to talk a little draft lottery and the results of the draft lottery that gets completed just before the top of the hour. And we'll see what Alex's mood is at that time and see if he's a happy man because they've moved up to number one. And even if they don't move up to number one, still, you know, you're going to get a pretty good player when it's all said and done. But we'll try to get on the BetCast and start it a couple minutes before 7 p.m. Eastern so we can talk about the draft lottery for a few minutes. And then we'll roll right into game two, Hurricanes Rangers, which will then roll right into Av Stars game one later in the night. All right, a reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. For Alex B. Smith, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Tuesday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we'll see you in a few hours for the Ice Guys Stanley Cup Playoffs live betcast. And again tomorrow on Wednesday for another edition of the Ice Guys.